Bay's Tan Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Ameritech Property Management, how can I help you?
Yeah, I've got two dogs crapping on my lawn. One of them is as big as a house.
Ameritech Property Management.
Okay, so my house smells like something out of a horror movie. It's like something died.
You guys send me a violation notice in the mail. It says my lawn is unsightly. What the hell is that?
You guys think that you're going to take my house? You got another thing coming. You're going to put a lien on my house for $20?
That's right. Everything you ever wanted to know about condominium living or deed-restricted communities. Good afternoon and welcome to the Ameritech Connection radio talk show on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Do you live in a condo or deed-restricted community? Do you have issues concerning the do's and the don'ts in your community? Have you been getting into trouble with your community association or management company? Got questions but just can't get the answers? Well, we cover it all and much more right here and right now on the Ameritech Connection. Hi, I'm Mike Perez, the CEO of Ameritech Property Management and your host for the Ameritech Connection. And sitting right next to me is my co-host, the beautiful and talented Miss Sharon Van Winkle. Sharon is also the Director of Marketing for Ameritech Property Management and has over 10 years of experience dealing with these, at times, very difficult situations. So with that in mind and without further ado, here's Sharon.
Thanks, Mike. We have an exciting one-hour show for you here today, so please keep listening and call us with your questions because we have all the answers. The local number is 727-441-3000. Again, that's 727-441-3000. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-826-1340. Again, that's 1-866-826-1340. Did you know that Ameritech Property Management manages over 25,000 homes in the Tampa Bay area? And that means we have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of different issues. We've been managing condominium and deed-restricted communities for over 20 years, and now we've decided to host our own radio talk show to discuss and educate you, our listeners, on the do's and the don'ts regarding community living. Oh yeah, not to mention the crazy and off-the-wall stories you're hear only on the Ameritech Connection radio talk show.
Well, today's show is all about, does a condo association or homeowners association have the right under Florida law to lien, foreclose, and eventually evict someone from their home if they don't pay their monthly maintenance fees? Also, does the board have the right to charge a late fee? If so, how much? And if they don't pay, what can they do? What can they do to them? What about the board's authority to suspend recreational privileges? We're going to talk about that if homeowners don't pay their maintenance fees. And finally, can a board of directors of an association take away somebody's home if they don't pay a fine for some sort of noncompliance issue?
Our guest today is Mr. Dan Pilka, who has been practicing law in the Tampa Bay area for over 30 years now. Mr. Pilka specializes in community association law. Thank you, Dan, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Sharon. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Tell me, Dan, if you don't pay your maintenance fees, can a condo association take someone's home and evict them?
Absolutely, Sharon. It's every homeowner's obligation to pay their assessments or maintenance fees when they're due. That's how you keep your associations up to date and you keep them looking good. And when people don't pay, the Florida legislature has given the associations the authority to place liens on the property. And if you don't pay the lien, then they can foreclose on the property and take the property from you.
But, Dan, what's the process, and how long does it normally take to go through that process?
Well, from a statutory point of view, whether it's a condominium association or it's a deed-restricted community like a homeowners association, it depends. Under condos, from a time it comes to an attorney, you get a 30-day notice of intent to lien, and we have to send those letters out to you. And if they don't respond, then a lien gets put on the property. Then the homeowner gets another letter and says, if you don't pay in 30 days, we can foreclose, and then they can foreclose. So in condos, it's up to 60 days before they can foreclose. In a homeowners association, it actually is up to 90 days.
All right. Okay, well, what about the mortgage, though, Dan?
Well, the mortgage is there. It's always there.
Now, this is the mortgage, of course, that the homeowner has on
the
property.
Right.
With a bank or the lender. That's always going to be there.
Okay.
And if an association decides to foreclose because a person isn't paying their assessments, the mortgage will be there, and the mortgage holder can always come and foreclose at any time they want to foreclose on it if the homeowner is delinquent in their payments.
So in essence, what you're saying is that if a homeowner doesn't pay their assessments, the association, condo or HOA, can come in there and take possession of the property, and the owner of the property is still obligated to the mortgage?
Absolutely, and a lot of people don't realize that. Sometimes people will just walk away from the property. They're tired of living in a deed-restricted community, and they say, fine, association, you take it, property. And they think they're free and clear because they don't own the property anymore. But as long as they have a mortgage and a promissory note on that property, they can still be sued for the delinquency, for the unpaid amount owed on the note, and they can have a delinquency and a judgment against them.
All right, well, I think our listeners are probably a little confused. I know I am. I may be doing this for a long time. But what happens if the mortgage company then forecloses against the association because the homeowner is not going to pay the mortgage? So what's the point of the association actually foreclosing if they're just going to take it away and then lose it to the lender? Does that make sense?
Sure, absolutely. Well, it requires the association to be diligent. So if a homeowner is delinquent in their assessments, the first thing you're going to assume is they're probably also delinquent in their mortgage payments. So when it comes to the association saying, what do we do with it? Then the association will talk to their attorney and they will look at the public record and see if the bank is in the process of foreclosing. If they're not, then the association knows that if they go through the process and they foreclose on the property, and that's a big if, the association actually gets the property after the foreclosure sale, then they know they can actually rent the property out for a period of time, which can help the community get funds back for the unpaid assessments and attorney fees.
All right. Well, that makes sense. But what about the property taxes? Who pays?
Actually, during that period of time, the property taxes are the responsibility of the owner of the property. But since the association knows that the amount of time they're going to own the property will likely be limited because of the mortgage, they're not going to pay the property taxes unless they can see themselves getting the property for a long period of time. It's like any investor owner at that point in time.
All right. So basically, Dan, what you're saying is they're buying time. The association, when they foreclose and take possession of a unit, they're just buying time because they're not going to pay the mortgage, right?
Right.
They're not going to pay the property taxes typically.
Right.
So they're going to buy some time to lease the unit out to recoup not only the reoccurring assessments that are taking place, you know, the monthly maintenance fees, along with the legal fees. I mean, there's got to be $2,000-$4,000 in legal fees to go through that foreclosure process.
That's right. That's if the association actually, if they foreclose, it goes to foreclosure sale, and nobody else buys the property. Oh. But remember, it goes out for the whole world to buy it at a foreclosure sale. And there's a lot of people, if they get it at a good price, investor owners come and buy it, and they'll rent it out for a period of time. So at that point in time, the association gets paid back what they're owed and their attorney fees and everything else. And then they get an investor owner who owns it who will be paying the assessments too. So it's kind of like a win-win for the association.
Yeah. So if the association does foreclose, then that income goes to...
It goes to the association.
Okay. And they just put it in their operating account, or where do they apply that to? I'm just
That
curious.
Depends on the association itself. Mm-hmm. It depends on the nature of the community. Condominiums own property. They have to maintain the common areas. So they have reserve accounts. If they have good revenues and good flow, they can apply the money to the reserve accounts. Otherwise, if they have extra money at the end of the year, you know what? You can actually benefit the rest of your homeowners by reducing the following year's assessments because you have this surplus.
Yeah, all right. We have some homeowners, let's say, that they're in a difficult hardship situation and they just need to work out a payment plan. So how does that work? I mean, would that homeowner just contact the board and just talk about their hardship and try to negotiate?
Well, generally, I always recommend that all associations should have a collection procedure in place. And that collection procedure should be known to the homeowners. And part of that procedure is, yes, you always work with homeowners. There are unforeseen difficulties. There are, you know, hospitalizations or situations we all have to deal with. And as long as homeowners are willing to work in a plan to pay back their delinquencies while staying current with their assessments, I always recommend, and I work with my association clients, to develop a plan to be paid back over time if the associations can afford that.
All right, that sounds good. Let's take a caller. I think we got some calls in here, right, Bobby?
Yes, first we have Tony.
Tony, welcome to the Ameritech Connection on Tan Talk. What's your question?
Hey, Mike, I got a question. Weird situation. I'm a renter, and I rent over here in a condo association. And this past weekend, I went down to try to use the pool, and they have this. They don't use regular keys; it's like a key fob, and it wouldn't work. So then I called this week, spoke with the management company, and they said that they canceled the access to the pool because the owner hasn't been paying, I guess, the HOA fees. Now I pay my rent on time, so how is that possible?
You know, Tony, that's a very good question. I mean, Dan, I mean, the guy pays his rent on a timely basis. The owner's not paying the assessments. And now, from what I understand, Tony just said, is they suspended his recreational privileges.
Tony, I feel for you there. Now, technically, the association actually has the right to suspend the use of the common areas for the owner of the property and their tenants if the owner is 90 days behind in his assessments. Now, what I would suggest to you is if you're paying your rents on time, what it means is your landlord isn't paying his bills on time. And what you should do is possibly go to the management company and say, hey, look, I'll be happy to pay you my rents if you just reinstate things and work out an agreement there, because the law does allow that, where the tenant can pay the rents to cover the unpaid assessments, and then the homeowner can't do anything against you, or the landlord can't do anything for you not paying their rents. But that's something.
So I wouldn't be jeopardizing then trying to evict me later on down the road, though, if I do that.
Actually, the statutes, both under the condominium laws and the homeowner association laws, provide that if a tenant is paying their rents to the association because the homeowner or the landlord's not paying their assessments, that tenant is protected and the landlord cannot evict you. And I'll give you a little advice. When I get those situations in my communities I represent, and someone like you calls me and says, well, I'll pay you, but what about if the landlord threatens to evict me? I tell those tenants, I say, you give me the phone call, and I'll be happy to deal with that landlord down the road.
So he's protected, even from a credit standpoint. I mean, you know, because the minute, you know, some of these landlords can report negatively on credit reports as well. So totally protected. Well,
I can't say totally with a credit report, because that gets into the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And I will say, yes, the landlord has a problem, but it doesn't prevent him from trying to do it, just like it doesn't prevent him from trying to evict. I'm just saying legally he can't do it.
I mean, because legally he's not in compliance with the lease.
Correct.
And there's nothing in the lease that says the owner has to pay the assessments.
No, but that's in the statutes.
I understand. So you're saying the statute trumps the lease?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Tony, I hope.
It gives me another, real quick, one more question, though. So if I do that, how is that going to affect me? Like, all right, the owner's going to get upset, and obviously once my lease is up, it's over. He's not going to re-rent to me, but then I need a reference.
Well,
then. Be able to say, no, he didn't pay me the rent, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I think, Tony, at that point, you're probably going to have to explain to a new prospective tenant or a new prospective landlord or apartment complex that you're going to be moving into, or explain to them what the situation actually took place, and let them know that the landlord wasn't paying the HOA dues, and here's the statutes. And you know, you're going to have to give some sort of an explanation on that.
And Tony, quite frankly, with a good property management company like Ameritech, I'm sure if you're working with a manager and get the payments, that they'll be happy to write a letter to explain the situation, that you can bring that to the apartment complex and say, this is why I was actually paying my rent, but I was covering the landlord's unpaid assessments.
That's right, and I like that plug, Dan. A good property management
you,
like Ameritech. So, Tony, I hope we were helpful to you. Thank you so much for calling in. Do we have any other callers?
Yes, we have Marie.
We have who?
Marie.
Marie, welcome to the Ameritech Connection on Tan Talk. What's your question?
Hi. So basically, I'm selling my home, and the homeowners association put a lien on my unit. Now, is that going to affect me at my closing?
I'm afraid it is, but I'm going to let the attorney explain that one. Go ahead, Dan.
Sure. Marie, well, I'm sorry you have a lien on your property, but yeah, it will affect the closing just to the extent that the lien's filed and will have to be paid. But regardless of whether there's a lien on your property or not, your title company will always be contacting your association to ask for what we call an estoppel letter to say, hey, does she owe any money on the property? And if the association, if you in this case like you do, they'll provide a letter, and that money that would have come to you in the closing will have to go to the association to take care of that lien so that your buyer gets a free and clear title to the property, and that's what they're entitled to.
So I have to pay that before I can close?
No, it actually gets paid at the closing. So let's say they paid $150,000 for your house, and after all the things, you're supposed to get $125,000, but you have a $1,000 lien, you'll get $124,000.
I mean, technically, it's your responsibility to pay those assessments anyways, and there may be, frankly, some late fees and possibly even legal fees associated with that non-payment of that. So it does clout the title, and you cannot close without getting those things paid off.
Right,
so.
Because you're given a warranty deed, and you got to give free and clear title to the property. So, unfortunately, that is what the law is, but like I said, the assessments need to be paid because that's how we keep the communities nice.
Well, thank you so much for your call in. Hopefully we were helpful.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, good luck. All right, what I'd like to ask you, Dan, is what is the difference between a regular maintenance fee and a special assessment? And everything that we talked about earlier, does that apply to the special assessment as well?
Yes, it applies to special assessments as well. Any assessment can be subject to a lien. Regular assessments are those budgeted items that have to be paid to keep the association operating. Now, special assessments, that's interesting because it depends what it is, depending on what your declarations say. And declarations are things that every homeowner should get when they buy a home.
Well, it's part of this, as a real estate broker, I mean, it's a statutory requirement. The realtor is supposed to give them all the documents, and they're supposed to sign a statement saying they received all the documents with a rescission. Period.
And the magic word is supposed to.
Well, I hear you. Well, if they're dealing with a realtor, they're going to have to, they have to do that.
Right.
Right.
And that's correct. And so you get the declarations, and typically, and all owners out there, anyone listening to this, I know you hate those declarations. They are boring. They are terribly boring. I mean, they will put you to sleep at night better than Sominex.
How did you manage to become an attorney specializing in this? I mean, you must have slept a lot through college, right?
I did. I hate to say it, but I used to represent insurance companies, and that was deadly. And so now I decided to represent associations instead and try to help people. So this is kind of like my penance to make up for all those years being an insurance defense attorney.
33 years you've been doing this.
33 years.
Wow. It's impressive.
Over the last 10 years, I've been doing associations. But the thing is, you look at those documents and look at the assessment portion, and there is a section in everyone's declarations entitled assessments. And special assessments typically are just there to cover the cost of capital improvements, repairs, and replacements. I have a wall that got knocked down. We have to repair it. We don't have money. That's where you have to have a special assessment imposed. Typically, that's where it is.
Well, you know, that's a good point because, you know, when somebody's buying into a condo or an HOA and looking at not only the documents but also looking at the rules and regulations as to what you can and can't do, but then take it a step further if you're a savvy buyer and look at the budget. Look at the budget to see what kind of condition the roofs are in. Look at the budget to see if they need a paint job here coming up or what kind of condition the parking lot is in.
The age of the roofs, too.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, and find out if they're fully funding for these accounts, because that's where a special assessment comes into play. Now, theoretically, as Dan would say, they're supposed to explain to you that maybe a special assessment is pending or they're not fully funding, but they don't always do that, right?
That's true. As a matter of fact, today, in this present time, if you're looking to buy a condominium, 9 times out of 10, the lender is going to require you to get all that information anyway before they're going to make a loan, because they're going to want to make sure that the association is fiscally and financially sound so they make sure the reserves are properly funded and the property is in good condition. So it's going to happen regardless. But yes, as a prudent investor, you want to always look for get the financials. And by the way, by statute, the association, if you're a prospective buyer, they must provide you with the financial records and the association records so that you can make a complete and fully informed decision on buying property.
Sounds good, Dan.
That's interesting.
Let's do this. Let's take another call. Do we got another caller on the air, Bobby?
Yes, we do. Paul.
Hey, Paul. Welcome to Ameritech Connection on TAN Talk. Thanks for calling in. What's your question?
Well, thank you. Enjoying the program. My situation is that I'm being foreclosed and getting ready to might be evicted by the association. But if I was to declare bankruptcy, would that stop that from happening?
That's a good question, Dan.
Yeah, Paul, I mean, that is an option that all homeowners have to file for bankruptcy. Now, I will tell you, I'm not a bankruptcy specialist. My firm does have an attorney who specializes in bankruptcy, but I am not it. Like, who was it? Will Rogers said, all men are ignorant just in different subjects, and that's not one of my specialties. But I will say this. If you are able to file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy because of your financial situation, and I hope you're not there, but yes, you can wipe out association debts in a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and as long as you've worked out arrangements with the bank on your mortgage and stay current, you can stay in the house, stay in the mortgage, and wipe out the unpaid assessments as well. Also, there's a possibility of a reorganization under 13, in which case the trustee would help reorganize all the debt and pay it out probably over a longer period of time than many associations would like. That's why, as an association attorney, if someone's looking at bankruptcy, typically I will recommend association boards to work with that person to try to work out a payment plan that allows you to stay in your house, avoid foreclosure, and get everything back to where it needs to be, where your assessments are all current and you're up to date and everything.
Paul, also what I would suggest, you know, first of all, I'm sorry for your situation. I hope things work out better for you. But I would suggest, as being in property management for 30 years, is you be a little selective as to what you pay as far as your bills are concerned. I know that, you know, probably you probably can't afford your mortgage payment, but I would pay your assessments, because I think, frankly, and Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, the association could probably foreclose a lot quicker on you than the mortgage company can.
Well, actually, the bank can foreclose quickly too. They just don't usually do that.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
There's
a little more diligence, especially with outstanding attorneys like Dan Pilka. I mean, he probably gets right on it when it comes to a foreclosure.
There's a plug for you, Dan.
there's a plug.
Back at you, right there.
Well, I don't get paid until we get it closed up. So, yes, I work fast.
Oh, really? So you take these things on a contingency fee?
Basically, yes, I do. I don't get paid unless a delinquent homeowner pays. But, Paul, going back to your situation, I joined with Mike, and I'm sorry to hear about your situation. But here's what I'm going to give a plug to someone else, and that is, if you find yourself in that type of financial situation, go get a bankruptcy attorney and talk to them and consult with them, because there's a lot of issues there that, quite frankly, A, I don't want to discuss over the radio, and B, I don't feel competent enough to give you the advice in that area. Okay?
Paul?
All right. Yep.
Hopefully we were helpful. I wish you the best of luck, and thank you so much for calling.
Well, yeah, good luck on your show here. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. All right, we're going to go to a quick break here for a commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about late fees and the board's authority on late fees and what they can and can't do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey!
What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilka & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves in providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation.
At 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. All right, Dan, let's talk a little bit about late fees. I know that boards of directors for condos and HOA associations, consistent with their documents, have the right to charge late fees. So elaborate a little bit as to, you know, what their authority and the extent of their authority is when it comes to late fees.
Well, the two things you need to look at is, number one, again, look at the declarations because they often say what the association's rights are. But something that all the homeowners and all the condo owners need to also know is if there's nothing in the declarations saying anything about late fees, the associations still have the authority to impose a late fees because it's provided for under statutes. And late fees typically are limited to either 5% of the amount owed or $25 per month, whichever is greater.
Okay, so an association does have the right to impose the late fees.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, is there a flat fee or a percentage? How does it work?
It's 5% of the amount. Typically, it's 5% of the amount owed. So let's say you owe $200 a month.
Uh-huh.
That would be, my math says, $10.
That's good. Your math is good.
Work on that.
You did good in math. I take it in law school.
Not well at all.
No, I'm curious, though.
But it would be 10%, $10, or $25, right. Whichever is greater.
Okay.
So it would be $25 a month.
But yeah, but isn't it likely that they probably would go with more a flat fee than a percentage, since the flat fee can be probably a lot more? Now, there's a usury rate in the state of Florida, right?
There is, but the late fees are not considered interest, so usury laws don't apply.
Just pointing that out.
Right. So you could have a late fee and interest, and typically you do have a late fee and interest charged on unpaid assessments. And typically, we talk about usury laws. We usually stick around 18% per year as interest.
All right. So let's say the assessments are $500 a month. Can the association charge a $100 late fee?
No.
Why not?
Because
you
the statute
just said they
says,
have the authority.
But by statute, and we gotta go by statute too, it's 5% of the amount owed, or $25, whichever is greater.
Oh, so they can't go more than $25.
It's 5% of the amount owed.
It's capped. So 5% of $500, if my math is right,
is $25. Right. There you go.
So,
math 101.
So, again, where does that money usually go, you know, when they impose those late fees?
Well, okay. And that's
can the board, like, have parties with it? Or, you know, I guess that's the misnomer.
Can they go out to dinner with it?
No. Or, you know? No, they can't. As a matter of fact, Florida, especially for condominium associations now with the statutes pending up in Tallahassee, no, you can't go out for dinner. I think it's like $25 max for things like that.
But that's what the late fee is.
Right, but don't go to dinner. Okay, typically, and this is something homeowners
how that
need to
out.
Realize, is that, you know, people come in and say, I owe $1,000 in unpaid assessments. And they come in with a check for $1,000, and they say, I'm caught up. And later on, they get a bill, and they find out none of that $1,000 actually went to the assessments. Because by statute, it first goes to late fees and interest.
Well, that's a good question because I'm going to ask you this now. Let's say I was $1,000 late on my assessments, but there is theoretically $1,200. Keep up with the math now. You're good at that. There is $1,200 outstanding. But if I wrote on the check, because I didn't want to pay the $200 in late fees theoretically, but I wrote on the check, apply to outstanding maintenance assessments only, wouldn't they have to apply that to the assessments and not the late fees?
You would think so, but you would be wrong.
Really?
Yes, and I can attest to this because I was arguing that very case in a condominium dispute where you wrote on the check, and people do this all the time. You say, I owe $1,000, $1,000, and then the memo section, they say, paid in full.
Or apply to maintenance fees only.
Correct. And the courts, and especially in this area, have held that that is inapplicable because the statute overrides any efforts to circumvent the requirements. So you pay $1,000, say apply to maintenance fees, and the association will have the right to apply it to interest and late fees first, then do attorney fees and costs, and then finally apply to assessments, but to the oldest owed assessments first. So you're still going to be running behind on your current assessments, for which you will be charged additional late fees and interest.
Yeah. Well, can they lien for non-payment of the late fees?
Yes, because that is considered.
Well, no, but let's say there was just a $25 late fee, and it was clear in the books and records that it was a late fee, and not theoretically where they collected the money and paid the late fees and interest first, because theoretically what's left over is assessments, correct?
Correct.
But let's say it's an actual late fee and it's provable somehow. Can they actually lien on a late fee and foreclose?
Well, I would say yes, because that would be considered an assessment as well. Just like right now, sometimes you have cases that are just litigated over the attorney fees owed, and that would be considered as well. So plus the fact, candidly, you would never have late fees being owed and assessments being current because everything paid always gets applied to late fees first.
Okay, so let me give you another example here. Let's say and we probably already talked about this a little bit, but let's say the board has the authority to impose late fees. We know that, but let's say it's not in their documents. I mean, is it something that has to be in their documents?
No, it doesn't have to be in their documents.
So the board can just have a regular board meeting, put it on their agenda. They all get together and they say, look, we want to start imposing a late fee consistent with Florida statutes. And let's say they decided to go with the flat rate of $25. They have the authority to do that.
Yes, but I wouldn't say just do it. I would say put it on the agenda, make sure the homeowners are noticed. Again, you need to have a good collection policy that is well known to the owners. The purpose is to avoid delinquencies. The purpose is to avoid unpaid assessments. Mm-hmm. So with a good collection policy published and provided to the homeowners, you are enhancing the association's ability to collect unpaid assessments. But I would again point out to you, the association wouldn't have the ability to just say $25 late fees. It must be consistent with the statute, which is 25% of the late fees or 5% of the unpaid assessments, whichever is greater.
All right. Well, let's just say that the homeowner is aware of those late fees and the amount that's due, but they forget. Is there a grace period?
That is up to the board of directors.
Oh,
let me say this, too.
So the board can establish a 30-day grace period, a 45-day grace period. Let's say it's unspoken in the documents.
Especially if it's unspoken in the documents, then they can establish rules and regulations. Now, some association declarations actually do state what the grace period, when the payment is considered late. And in that case, the board has to follow what the documents say or get the membership to amend the documents. So it all depends on what you have there. But I will say this too, and when we're talking about working with homeowners, you know, with guys like Paul who called earlier, a lot of times if somebody says, look, I know I'm $1,000 behind, but if I write you a check for $1,000, will you waive your late fees and interest? A lot of times, a lot of associations will waive the late fees and interest.
And they have the authority to do that.
They have the authority to waive late fees and interest. But they do not, in my opinion, have the authority to waive the assessment itself.
So this can't be just selective. They can't just say, well, this guy's a nice guy. He's my neighbor, so we want to do that for him. But we may not do that for another person.
It generally should not be selective. It should be applied across the board. But if I have, you know, a sweet Aunt Rose down the street who just came home from a double bypass surgery, and she's recuperating, and she says, you know, I got the money to pay my assessments, but I can't afford late fees. You know, you may want to be selective for poor Aunt Rose.
Okay. All right. Well, Bobby's waving over at me. I can see him over there. Bobby, we got another call coming in?
We're going to talk with Dan.
Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
And welcome.
Hey, how are you?
We're doing good. Welcome to the Ameritech Connection on TalkTan. What kind of question do you have?
Well, I've been living in my parents' place in the I can't say mother-in-law, but it's a garage with the room, and they own a two-bedroom, two-bath home with a pool on 2 acres, and they owe $172,000 on it, and the property's worth about $166,000. Is there any way, you know, what types of little loopholes can I get in there with, you know, being a disabled veteran, 100% permanent total, where I could, bam, do it real easy?
Well, let me say this.
Another place.
Well, we want to thank you very much for your service. Let me just put that out there right off the bat. And we're sorry you're going through this, but so basically you've got a $170,000 mortgage, and you
my parents put $172,000 on the property,
and it's worth about $160,000.
About $165,000, $167,000.
All right, sir. Dan, that's probably a good question. What do you think?
Well, Dan, I mean, there's a lot of things to look at. And here we're talking primarily dealing with the lender, correct?
Yeah, the bank itself.
Okay. There's a lot of things to look at. I guess you got to look at your parents because they're actually the owners of the property and the mortgagors on the property. But the first thing I would look at is to see if there's any package, how it's financed, to see if it might be fall under a HARP provision, so we can see about a HARP modification. We can look for other modifications.
Like a hardship or a HARP?
HARP. HARP. That is one.
Yeah,
that's one thing we could look at to see if we can get a modification on your loan to bring it more in alliance with your, the marketplace.
Now, are your parents VA or military as well, former?
No, sir. No, okay. Sir. No,
right.
Sir.
And it's not in your name, right?
Sir, it's not in my name.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to get any assistance from a military standpoint.
No, well, I was thinking that, too.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Okay, now your parents, are they retired now?
My mom is, and my dad still works.
Okay, so we could actually go back to the lender to see about some other type of modification, especially if you still have income coming in. And you could even, so that's where I would go first, especially if they're not in foreclosure. And I would be, and what I'm talking about is in late and behind, not necessarily in a lawsuit.
They thought about that because they own another home that they're up north of here, and they already paid for that. And they thought, you know, if nobody buys it or rents it out, they're just going to let the payment slap.
Well, I mean,
that's going to affect their credit. I mean, they probably could. Listen, most of the time, or all of the time, the banks don't want the property back. I mean, they're receptive to talk and try to negotiate some sort of a modification and payment plan that works. I mean, do they want to lease the property out? I mean, if they lose it, if they got another place to go, I mean, maybe rental income is the way to kind of.
They just want out of it. They
want out of it. What about you? Can you go? I mean, it might not be a bad idea for you to go in there and lease the property. And
well, that's what I was thinking. You know, like I could still live in the place where I'm living out back, and of course fix it up a little bit. I mean, needs you know, like the toilet fixed and the air conditioner repaired a little bit. But other than that, it's a halfway decent place, and the pool's nice, and the backyard's nice, and the main house is nice. So maybe just rent out the main house.
Well, Dan,
here's
another option to look at, and that is, I'm not going to get into personals about your situation, what you're doing for a living, but you can also approach the bank on the idea of a short sale, and where you could actually, the bank will agree to allow the sale to be, the property to be sold for less than the mortgage amount accepted, relieve your parents of any deficiency, and then the property is more consistent with its property values. And possibly even you could buy it under a short sale.
Especially, and Dan's absolutely right on that, especially since they're going to probably send one of their appraisers and evaluations out of the property. And when they learn that the property is only worth $160,000 or $165,000, I mean, theoretically, they're not going to want the property back because they know they're going to lose it anyways. So it's a lot easier for them just to accept a short sale And if you've got the capacity to kind of buy it yourself, and it doesn't necessarily have to be cash, I mean, certainly you can make application for a VA mortgage on that regard.
That's true.
You know,
I would have to work out some kind of thing with my parents where once I started renting it out, I would have to give them X amount of dollars till I paid them, you know, their 176 or whatever, you know, whatever they agreed on, right?
The problem there is the bank needs to get paid off. And if they do it as a short sale where they take it for less than the full amount owed of the mortgage, arrangement with your parents won't work. So you would probably
so what you're saying is even the bank says we want 176 and they know that the property is only worth 168, the bank will have some kind of have some kind of consideration and say, okay, we'll sell it to you for 168.
Yeah, that's exactly what they do. And they would just do that as a loss and move on, and that would be the end of it, right? Yeah,
that's exactly right. But a short sale would still affect my parents' credit too, right?
No, it wouldn't, because there wouldn't be a deficiency against them. So
yeah, but it could affect them from a tax standpoint.
It probably will affect them unless they take that other property as their homestead and transfer the loss to that. But yeah, they might have a tax liability for capital gains for the difference between the mortgage amount and what they are relieved of liability for. But that would be pretty much it. And I'm not sure I don't think it would really affect their credit if it was done by a short sale. But they would have a tax liability.
I agree. Dan, we got to go to a short commercial break. Thank you so much for the call. We wish you the best of luck. And again, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate your call.
Good show. I like your show.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Folks, we'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Hey, Frank, thanks for inviting us to the pool party.
Hey! What is that?
Oh, my pool? Yeah, I'm going for a natural Florida wildlife kind of thing.
Frank, no, man, you gotta call Gulfside Pools.
Daddy, watch me!
Jimmy, stop playing on that alligator.
Oh, it's not that bad.
Frank, it's bad. Gulfside does pool cleaning and repairs for commercial or residential. With over 50 years experience, they'll make your pool look, well, like a pool again. Call 813-626-3539. 813-626-3539. Or go to their website, gulfsidepools.com.
When you need legal help, you want a lawyer you can trust, someone with experience, knowledge, wisdom, and compassion. At Pilk & Associates, we pride ourselves at providing you with the personal attention and consideration your legal issues deserve. We can help plan long-term goals for your family or your business and handle unexpected legal issues that arise suddenly. We're a full-service law firm with nearly 3 decades of legal experience. We are dedicated to serving your legal needs. Please call for a free consultation
at 813-759-3285 or feel free to email us at law@pilka.com. We look forward to serving your legal needs.
Honey, why is the house on fire?
Well, Charles, I told you to feed Fluffy before you left for work, and...
You're joking, right?
She was very upset.
Aegis Insurance Group provides insurance for your personal or business needs, providing insurance for condominium and homeowner associations, automotive, boats, and recreational vehicles. We have you covered. We will find the perfect coverage at an affordable price for your needs. 727-216-4088. 727-216-4088. With over 60 years experience, you can trust us with your insurance needs.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, folks, and thanks for tuning in. You know, Dan, I don't think I've heard so many commercials for you. I mean, did we mess something up here, Bob?
I feel like John Morgan, to be honest with you.
Anyway, great. Let's talk a little bit about recreational privileges and how the board has the authority to failure, how the board has the authority to suspend those rights for failure to pay maintenance fees.
Yeah. So, Dan, does the board actually have the authority to fine?
To fine or to impose? First off, yes to both questions. The first question is obviously, if you are delinquent in your assessments by 90 days and the association gives you notice, then they can suspend your rights to use the common amenities in the community, like the pools, the clubhouse, et cetera. The one thing they can't do, though,
The weight room, everything, all the amenities.
The one thing they can't do, though, is they cannot prohibit your access into the community. Like if you have a gated community, they can't shut the gates down and not allow you in. Or if you have a key fob to get an entrance into the building, they can't prohibit you from getting in. But otherwise, they have the right to suspend your rights to use the amenities of the community because you're not paying.
Well, it was like the call. It was like the call we had earlier where the guy actually was a tenant.
Right.
And he was
right.
paying his assessment. He was paying his rent, and then they suspended his right to use the recreational facility.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty sad for situations like that when it comes to tenants. What about can a board or management company actually post delinquencies on the community bulletin board as an attempt to kind of like embarrass or humiliate an owner into paying? I know that we've had quite a few board members that wanted to do something like that. What do you think?
I would strongly recommend against posting them as a matter of public record out there to shame homeowners to pay. But I will say that all of the homeowners' ledgers and the amounts owed and their payment histories, they're actually official records of the association. So homeowners do have the right to see who's not paying and who is paying. So because of that, some associations sometimes do post delinquencies as a coercive tool to get payments.
But they cannot talk openly about the delinquency, right? Correct? At an open board meeting?
Actually, yes, sometimes they do talk to the in open board meetings because oftentimes what you have is a board will say, all right, we're going to proceed forward with foreclosures on this unit, this unit, this unit, and this unit. Mm-hmm. And thus it's a matter of public record that they're going to do that. So I wouldn't say I don't recommend putting it out there in the public forum, but homeowners do have to be aware that there is some legal authority to allow the association to have some degree of publication of delinquencies.
Okay, hey, Bobby, we got another call coming in?
Yes, we do. We have Karen.
Karen. Hey, Karen, welcome to the Ameritech Connection on TAN Talk. What's your question?
Well, I got a letter from my homeowners association. And I only owe 2 months of fees, but they've added on late fees. They say they're going to charge interest. They can file a lien, and I have to pay the attorney fees. Can they do all that?
Karen, I'm afraid the answer to your question is yes. They can. If you're delinquent in your payments, they can put on a late fee. They can charge interest. And if they turn it over to the attorney, typically, you are responsible for the reasonable attorney fees incurred and collecting that unpaid assessment. So that's, I mean, there is some significant penalties for not paying your assessments on time.
Karen, all we can say is pay your assessments. Pay the late fees as well. But thank you so much for calling in. Bobby, do we have any more calls holding?
That is all for today.
That is it. All right. Dan, let's talk a little bit about fines real quick here. I know we just got a few more minutes left. I know the association has a right to fine homeowners, but can they foreclose and take possession of a home? Because, I mean, a fine is kind of the form of an assessment, right?
Well, now it is, yes. But in the old days, historically, it was not. Fines were fines, and they could not be grounds for foreclosure. But several years ago, Florida statute, section 720.305, was amended. So fines, if they exceed $1,000, can now be considered an assessment that could be subject to a lien and can result in foreclosure. Now, one thing to remember, Mike, is that is not true for condominium associations. While condominium properties can fine up to $1,000 for violations of their declarations of condominium, condominium associations cannot use those fines to foreclose on properties.
So, Dan, then how much can they fine and how often?
Well, they can find as much as the legal documents allow them to find. You look at your declarations. Some of them will say we can find up to $1,000. Some say up to $5,000. Some say as much as the law permits. And those are different languages.
All right, so let's say the law says $1,000. I mean, which we all know the law, it caps it out at $1,000, $100 per day for 10 days, correct?
Actually, the law allows more than that, allows whatever the declaration's now.
So the declaration says they can find $1,000 per day?
No, $100 per day, but the cap for per violation can be $5,000, whatever the declarations provide.
Can the homeowner dispute the fine?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's the thing the homeowners need to look at and make sure, because before fines can be imposed, they are entitled to due process rights. And I'm talking about a hearing. They can have attorneys present. They can put on evidence before the fines can be imposed.
Okay. So what are some of the things that they can fine over?
Whatever the restrictions are. For example, things are creating nuisances, parking on grass, allowing the house to become in disrepair, the lawns being not maintained properly. Okay. Whatever restrictions are in the declarations, if you violate those restrictions, that can result in fines being imposed against the homeowner or the condominium owner.
Okay. What's some of the things they're fining over? I mean, obviously, is it non-compliance issues, or is it...
It's all non-compliance, but it's all types of things. You paint your house. I had one once where they painted it mustard yellow, and that resulted in some very significant litigation that went to trial and has been up on appeal. So color of your paint, color of your yard, the type of grass you put down, the height of your grass, parking your car on the grass, parking your car on the sidewalk, working on cars. All types of things. If it's in your declarations and you violate it, it can result. And a lot of it is very discretionary on the board's behalf.
Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show here today.
Yes, thank you, Dan.
And
it's really informative.
I appreciate both of you allowing me to be here, and I enjoyed having an opportunity to talk with you and also to talk with all the callers.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hey, you.
Who, me?
Not you, the hot one.
Hi, what can I do for you?
Aren't you that lady that's on that radio show called The Ameritech Connection?
Why, yes, I am. We're live every Thursday at 5 p.m. on TAN Talk Radio Network. Right, Mike?
That's right, Sharon. Live in a condo or homeowners association? You have issues. How about questions? We cover it all and more. Tune in every Thursday at 5 p.m.
What time again?
That's 5 p.m. every Thursday on TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
Ameritech Community Management is a local management company servicing the Tampa Bay area for over 20 years. We are proud of our company and continue to provide professional and courteous service to our clients. After 20 years, we still manage our very first community association. If you are in need of a top-notch community management team for your property, give us a call today, 727-726-8000. That's 727-726-8000. Or visit our website at ameritechcompanies.com.
Well, that wraps up our show for today. Sharon and I both would like to thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, without you, Ameritech has no connection.
That's so true. And we also appreciate all the feedback and all the listeners that take the time to call in and ask the questions. So don't forget, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection on the TAN Talk Radio Network, 1340 a.m. and 106.1 FM.
And if you're looking for a good property management company, look no further. Give us a call at Ameritech. I promise you, you won't be sorry. We would greatly appreciate the opportunity to become your next property management company.
So don't forget, every Thursday between 5 and 6 p.m., it's the Ameritech Connection.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.